Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we're discussing managing fear and taking your calls for readings. Number to call, 914-338-0164. And press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Want to invite everybody, as always, to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Facebook and on Twitter. We do have followers on Twitter. I don't use it that much, but it's another platform where you can find Neil and me. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. Again, call in number 914-338-0164. Press 1 to speak with the host. And managing fear. Well, a lot of people need to do it, manage fear.
We all need to do it. I mean,
a lot of people, I should rephrase what I said. A lot of people have challenges doing so, and it unfortunately affects the quality of life because fear is unmanaged in the life.
Well,
so, yes,
true, yeah.
We all need to do it, but some of us are more challenged than others, for sure.
Of course, it depends on the amount of fear and the approach of fear. Some fear is very approachable. For instance, if
what's wrong with my computer here? Sorry. Go ahead.
If you're if you see a head-on collision coming, and you're one of the drivers, that's immediate fear. That's an available immediate fear, and there's no real time to put it anywhere except your body usually freezes, goes into shock mode if you're aware that it's an impending disaster, and you just brace yourself. Usually, bracing yourself in fear extends from the
fight.
The idea is that it's not always a flight or fight. A lot of animals,
in terms of a response, saying it's not. You don't always have the option to fight or flee.
Well, there's a third. You freeze. A lot of times animals, especially babies, fawns and things, but whether they've been taught by their parent or it's natural, they will immediately just freeze.
So it's the three Fs, fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah, 666. So the freeze category is when you really not in a position to fight or flee. You're not, none of those two options are going to work. So what you do is you're in a frozen state and you just simply freeze. Now, usually what happens in with human beings, if they really can't fight or flee, they freeze, they lock up and they brace themselves. And so the idea is that if you freeze, you're not there. You're almost in a position that you've taken your fear, your immediate fear, which is extreme panic beyond fleeing, and you just brace yourself. But the idea of bracing yourself is almost as though you want to be invisible, like you want the fear to rush through you and not impact you. So that element of fear, our first basic element of fear, comes from the idea that we are aware that we exist and we are aware that we can die. When a baby cries because it's hungry, that's not fear. It's crying out of an instinct. It's crying because
it has a need.
It's energy. The individual's energy needs to be fed.
It's changed or whatever it is.
It's not a choice of fear. Fear is something that we basically learn post after birth, maybe 2 years old. There can be fear. We sometimes acquire fear from the experience of experiencing pain, and then we know that pain hurts, and then we have fear wherever we know that pain is or where it can occur. But the idea too of fear as we get older comes from the notion that the fear coming towards us will kill us, could kill us or threaten us to such a degree we won't be alive. So there are different types of fear. Like we said, there's a physical fear of like a car rushing towards you, or you're sliding off of a mountain and you're about to plunge to your death. And then there's the fear of someone coming, that you hear that someone's coming into town and they want to kill you, but they're not going to be arriving for a week. And that fear becomes what's called anxiety. Anxiety isn't produced from the immediacy of fear. That's raw fear. Anxiety comes when there is a space of time between the immediacy and
the event.
Now you have anxiety, but it's coupled with fear. And so we have these different elements of fear and anxiety.
So all these elements that we're talking about are legitimate, classified as legitimate. And, you know, if someone's going to come into town and kill you, it's natural you'd have anxiety. And then, you know, that would rise to fear when the event occurs.
Yes.
Or, you know, possibly falling off a cliff or whatever. Those are legitimate reasons for fear. But then when fear starts getting into our lives in more subtle ways, in relation to things that are not really a basis for fear, then we start getting into trouble because we use
a different term. We take fear and we say, I'm afraid. You don't say, if you're about to die, you don't say, I'm afraid. You just have raw fear.
Right. And then there's the response that's an instinctual response.
Mm-hmm. Afraid
rather than a conversation.
A prerequisite of fear. Afraid is something that usually people experience before they're about to do something. But it's usually because of a challenge. Oh, I'm afraid to jump off the diving board. So afraid is a little bit less of an action verb. Fear is the action. Fear is, it comes right to fear. You really don't have any time to think about anything. So what you do in your body is you just brace yourself. You're not in a moment going to say, well, this fear, I have fear, I'm about to die. I think I'll put it in my second chakra. I think I'll put it in my fourth chakra. No. Fear, you just brace yourself. You're totally panic. It can be you're breathing hard, you can scream, but there's such an immediacy of the body to the response that there's very little intellectual capacity. When you're afraid, you're using more mental. When you're afraid, your body is not so much the physical element of fear. It's more the mind. Now we're getting into the mind and we're getting into the sixth chakra. So when we term the word afraid, we're in the brain. We're afraid. We're not locked up. We're not doing anything immediately. We're not screaming. Usually when we say we're afraid, there's very little body response. It's in the head. And it's exclaimed through the fifth chakra, the voice. Now, that may be accompanied by what? Anxiety. So you get a pit in your stomach, you're nervous, you get indigestion, you can't
think. Indigestion.
Yeah, sure.
Speak for yourself.
well, the stomach is the chakra system
right.
that handles a lot of fear.
Sure. I would, you know, probably...
You know why? You know why?
Well, butterflies, I would say, is more common for me if I'm in a fear state or anxiety.
But you know,
I'm a vegan. I'm not a vegan. Vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
Not a vegan.
No, I'm not a vegan.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. We
Correction.
Eat dairy.
You know why the stomach becomes such an immediate sense of of that pit is because it's from the womb.
Right, you're connected to the mother by the umbilical cord.
We experience some energy of we experience something regarding energy through the stomach because that's where we're fed.
Right.
That's where we get our nourishment. And that's where we first experience the element of the outside world, if you want to call it that, because it's coming from the mother. And the mother's energy is coming from the outside world as well. So our first pit in the stomach, the pit in the stomach is from the umbilical cord and the communication that's expressed there. But we're not, there's not an intellectual capacity as yet, unless you want to talk about maybe souls in the embryo or something like that. But let's just talk about the embryo. There's no capacity to have for fear. You're in a sac. There's no thought process. There's no experience and there's no learning. But there still can be an inducement of not feeling. It's not even a feeling, but not having the nutrients or anything. Can a baby struggle? Do they kick? Do they move? Is the brain developing? It's to some part, yes, apart from experience, though. So fear, I know we have a caller. We're going to get to the caller.
Yeah, we're going to get to you in just a moment, 404.
Fear comes into the zone of first fear, then the idea of being afraid, and then the idea of having anxiety. And every one of those terms is placed in a different part of the body. It has a different sense of the body. So our chakra systems are all equipped to handle the variations of fear, but some of them are more specialized in our body to handle it more than others.
Right. And then, of course, if the fear becomes overwhelming to any of the chakra systems, then there can be an imbalance in the chakras.
Oh, but
we'll get
throughout
to that.
Life.
Yeah, we'll get to that after this call. 404 area code. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Who's calling, please?
Destiny.
Destiny, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. And you're good. We're going to keep asking it. This was going to be the content of the call. We're just going to keep saying, how are you? How are you?
That's
your destiny.
I'm kind of nervous.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry.
We didn't have time to cover nervousness yet.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Well, we talked about anxiety. That's,
she's already
that's
included
the cousin
in the
of
conversation
nervousness. Okay, Destiny. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, okay. And Destiny, what is your birth date?
8/4/1998.
Okay, 22 and 17. Is that right? 39, 12. Okay. So you're a 3. Oh gosh, you're so young. You're so young.
Yeah, I'll be 20.
You're 20
this year, though.
Going to
I'll
be. You're 19.
Yes, ma'am.
You're old enough to call the show, though.
You're old enough to call the show, yes. And, gosh, so, Destiny, what's your question?
Well, I want to know what's going on relationship-wise with my boyfriend and then financial-wise.
Finances and boyfriend. And let's get your boyfriend's birth date.
10/5/1999.
Okay, he's even younger than you.
You go for those younger guys. Okay, we're already determining that you've got some kind of... All right.
Six, 16, and 18.
34/7. Yeah, wow.
But they're an 11 together.
No, they're a 10.
I'm sorry, what am I doing? I'm looking at a 4, but... He's a 3. They're a 10. They're a 7 and a 3.
Yeah.
Wow, those are our... Neil and I are those numbers. Neil's a 7 and I'm a 3 like you.
Really?
Yeah. So what's going on with the boyfriend?
Well, our relationship has been very rocky lately, and I don't know what to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you two been together?
Just for about 7 months.
7 months, which
is... But
we
know each other for, like, a few years.
Did you hear what she just said? They've been together 7 months, but they've known each other 3 years, which is actually his master number seven, 7 months.
Yeah.
And then 3 years is
your point. Yeah.
Is your master number. So uh-huh. It's a coded language that you're speaking in. And it's rocky. Well,
yes,
Neil, do you want to tell her why it's rocky rather than asking her why it's rocky?
Well, first of all, it's difficult to be young, you know, and in love and to feel grounded. It takes certain types of people that are just so determined to be in a relationship and so committed that they start off so young and they spend a lifetime together. They eventually get married. And, you know, there are people like that, and that's very special for couples to experience that.
Right.
However, most people, I mean, when you're young, you know, you fall in love, you want to be with the person, and then what happens is as you mature, your capability to maintain a relationship starts to change, and you get distracted by other people, and you have psychological problems you're working through, and the grounding of trustworthiness, you know, and you're not mature enough to understand how to endure in a relationship. In other words, when things start to go bad, you just want to split. That's it. And so what's happening, Destiny, and usually what happens, it's not in all cases Destiny, but usually it's the man that gets stressed and they leave and the woman's going, what? Because the woman... But, you know, by nature, the woman wants to build a nest and have
nurture.
The babies and all that. So they find a man and they're young and they're able to produce. And so the element on an ancient level, biological level, is I want to find a mate and I want to start building my nest. And that doesn't mean you have to have children. It just means, it could just mean I want to be in a secure relationship. So usually it's the man. Some men are very sensitive, and it's the other way around. And some women are very carefree, and they just don't want to be tied down. That happens thousands of times, too. In this case, Destiny, I think that with your boyfriend, there's certain things that he's going through that are probably very rocky for him on a psychological plane. You know, upbringing and problems and getting and growing up and becoming an adult.
He's going through a lot.
He's going through a lot.
He lost like 3 family members this year.
He lost 3 family members this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Zeros in numbers sometimes indicate some problems.
Especially on the left side of the birth date.
Yeah.
Well,
not
both. I mean, both sides of the birth date are problems, but the zero in the left side shows maybe that there are problems before the karmic ages.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's true. I mean, not all the time, but oftentimes zeros indicate numerically symbolic of having problems. So he's lost 3 members, so he's dealing with that loss.
Another 3, too.
Yeah. And it's overwhelming. And some men will seek the shelter of a woman. And comforted by that, but if a man is still trying to understand his manhood, and to understand how to cope with himself, he may start to feel like alienation. In other words, they get distant, they get moody, they get quiet, right?
Right.
And Destiny, are sitting there going, why would you do that if I'm your girlfriend and I'm here to comfort and shelter you and
Exactly.
You see? Yes. And the man says to himself in his deep mind, the man says, yeah, but that's not manly. I feel like I'm losing too much of myself. And if I go to a woman to seek comfort, it hurts my manliness. It doesn't equate to me being strong.
And because the maturity level at the stage of development, it's difficult to, you know, it's difficult to really get through that kind of
thing.
Right.
You know, some young men are kind of diffused. They can be tough and they can be sensitive, you know, like the West Side Story type guys. You know, they can be tough and they can be sensitive. and they can still have their girl, their woman. And
some,
I think this guy's very sensitive.
He is.
And
oh my goodness.
And I think he's too sensitive. He probably needs some counseling of some kind, but that wouldn't solve your problem, Destiny. I'm calling you Georgia.
What?
I'm going to call you Georgia. You live in the state of Destiny. So that's a problem. And you're probably asking, well, what's going to happen?
Maybe, well,
Go ahead.
Maybe before we get to that, we can ask Destiny a little bit more specifically, since you gave a nice overview of what's probably going on. Do you want to maybe detail a little bit some of the things that have been occurring between the two of you or his behavior?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So it's like trust issues, and he's having like problems with his mother, and he lost his father at a young age. So it's a lot.
Trust issues in terms of like other women, or
no,
like going out and drinking.
I'm seeing someone else.
I'm sorry.
No, he thinks I'm seeing someone else.
Oh, he doesn't trust you.
Yeah.
Hmm. So he's got some insecurities, probably because of the loss he's experienced.
Yep.
Well, are you a flirt, Destiny? Do you like to flirt with men? Do you like to have a good time with men? But you keep your boundaries, or are you in another relationship?
I keep my boundaries. That's one thing about me. But people get the wrong vibes off me, like I'm flirting with them, but I'm not.
Because you're friendly, you're nice, you're friendly.
And then,
I'm
attractive, so I attract some guys to me, but I can't help it. I don't speak to them, but they just come to me and try to speak to me, but I don't speak to them.
So he's probably jealous because he knows he has a beautiful woman that is attractive to other men, and he feels like he can't contain you necessarily because there are going to be naturally other men pursuing you, and that's threatening to him.
You know, that's another attitude of fear is jealousy. The fear that the person you put trust in, you may not be able to totally trust. You become jealous, and then you lose your bearing. And it's another form of fear, Destiny. There are certain things you can do. One, being a woman, you could just say, you know what? This is who I am. This is what I am. You're going to have to trust me because I'm not going to change. I have my boundaries, and I like to talk and, you know, a little flirtation, whatever. But my intention is I honor our relationship. So you could do that. Some guys will say, hey,
he's a very great guy. Other than that, he's a very great guy. He makes sure I'm okay. He makes sure I eat and stuff like that. He's a very great guy. But other than that, it's just...
Well, Destiny, maybe, you know, you can adapt to him a little bit and say, what is it that would make you feel more comfortable? That, you know, if I'm talking to a guy and he's laughing, I don't slap him on the shoulder and say, oh, you're so funny. Or do you want me to, or do you want me to put a shawl over my head and not look at anybody, a veil, or, you know, what would be your comfort level? Considering that I'm a human being, a woman, and we're in a bonded relationship, what would make you feel more comfortable? So I can see if I can manage that. Have you done that one?
Right.
Have you done that?
Not really, because I like to catch attitudes too, so sometimes I don't want to speak to him until he loses his attitude.
Right, so you have a
so
problem.
What happens is it gets too hot. He responds, and you don't want to, you're not in any place to further the communication because until he stops being so responsive and reactionary. Well, then you got to have... You know, you've got to have a talk then outside of the immediate occasion. Well, what do you think you do that disturbs him? Yeah, come on, you're smart. What do you think you do that makes him jealous?
I'm honestly a very nice person. So when I talk to someone, I guess I'm too friendly. And it comes off like maybe it looks like I'm flirting. But also... Because I get a lot of DMs sometimes on Instagram, so He sees that because we share Instagram DMs on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, you're on Instagram, so
Instagram
people
account.
Respond to your photos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just tough because, like, at this age, you know, this is a common, I mean, you know, it can occur later in life too, but, you know, they're developing into adults and conflict in relationships.
I mean,
he told me about his past relationships and he said he's still trying to heal from it. So I don't know.
What is he trying to heal from? I mean, was there infidelity in the relationship?
He was cheated on so many times.
And so he's jealous. Yeah. Is he controlling to a point where it's, I mean, how controlling is he? Does he try to tell you where to go and who to see type of thing?
No, not really. He's just more trying to make sure I don't break his trust or... I don't even know how to explain it.
not at a level where he's trying to, you know, get into something where he's trying to control you in a way that's unhealthy.
No.
Well, yeah.
Possibly manageable.
Destiny, you don't want to become impaired by meeting someone's demands or expectations or constantly adjusting yourself to someone's emotional status.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to become impaired to where you lose your identity. You don't want that.
Right.
And so, you know, the idea is, I mean, couples like this, sometimes they seek counseling. Sometimes they just work it out on their own. Sometimes they're just not really a good match. Your boyfriend is obviously suffering from a lot of loss and a lot of fear of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're going to be in a relationship with this kind of a man and you love him, you might have to consider what's more important, me being flirtatious and a little flighty, or do I love this man so much that I will bend a little bit and allow him to feel a little bit more secure because this is my significant other. This is my man.
Right.
You know, it would have been the other way around. What if all the girls were going after him? And he was texting, and he was friendly, and he, you know, kissed girls.
Yeah,
on the
I'll be insecure. That was the issue.
And what would you say to him? What would you say to him then?
I don't know. I just
you
know
say knock it off.
Do you ever have issues with him being flirtatious or no?
I mean, no, he don't be flirtatious. He actually respects me when other females are around.
Well, that's positive.
You know, Destiny, treat him the way that you would want to be treated if he was doing it to you.
Yeah, tone down maybe the friendliness, I would say.
If you want to be in a relationship, just think, you would probably say to him, you know what, I don't mind if you're friendly and stuff, but God, you know, you text these girls and you kind of invite them to kind of talk with you and you kind of show off your attractiveness. And you kind of you seem to enjoy the idea that girls like you and you know, hold them a little bit or flirt with them a little bit, but you're secure with me. But it makes me feel insecure because you need to do that. Why do you need to do that? See, so maybe if he was doing it, just think, how would you talk to him? So that's what he's doing to you, Destiny.
Right.
And you got to really consider if you're going to be in a relationship. It's a communication. And what's happening that is all you're doing too is arguing.
Right.
You know, he says
pointless.
Don't do it and he gets mad. Don't
because I'm very
his,
hard-headed.
His anger,
yeah.
His anger comes from fear that you could have if he was doing it. Go ahead.
Right.
No, I just thought she was saying something and we were not letting her talk. What were
you
saying?
It's fine. It's just saying I'm very hard-headed. That's all.
You're hard-headed. You're stubborn.
Yes. Yeah, because I don't like to tell people to tell me what to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, being hard-headed is fine. You can have that trait, but when you're in a relationship, those kinds of things can ruin a relationship.
Right.
Well, don't take pride in the fact that you're hard-headed unless you want to be single and find somebody who doesn't mind being hard-headed.
Well, yeah.
But if you're in love and you're hard-headed.
Sure.
That's not the way to make it work.
But do you want to be in a relationship, or would you rather be single and dating? I'm sorry.
Yes, I want to be in a relationship.
You want to be in a relationship.
He made me change my mind about one, so, yeah.
So you originally didn't want to be in a relationship, but you care and love this care about and love this person, you
so
want
much.
To be in a relationship.
Yeah.
So then you have to make sacrifices if you're going to be in a relationship and, you know, modify behavior, I think. You can't have your cake and eat, so to speak, all the time. And I don't think it's unreasonable that he's wants to feel like he's secure with you. That's not unreasonable.
He's putting his, you know, I mean, if you found a man that's caring and loving and there's obviously things you love about him, don't ruin it. Don't sabotage it over something that's frivolous, flirting, and, you know, that's just the way you are.
Yeah.
You know, unless let go of him and don't hurt him anymore and find some guy that doesn't mind you doing that and hope that he's going to be as caring as this man is.
Okay, so she had a question about finances too. Unless there was something else you wanted to say about this.
Oh, no, you basically covered everything. Yeah.
Okay, what did you want to know about your finances?
I wonder if there's going to be an improvement or I don't know. I just want to know what's going on with the money issue.
Where do
I catch
Do you live at home with your parents still or do you move?
Yes.
Do you live outside the home?
I live with my parents.
You live with your parents.
Yes, but soon I want to get out on my own.
You want to get on your own? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's got 8, which is good for money, but they're split. One's in her month and one's in her year. What kind of work do you do?
Actually, I work 2 jobs, Party City and Starbucks.
I wrote down customer service. So is that what you do at Party City?
Mm-hmm.
And
customer service retail,
Yeah, that's what I wrote down. I should have said it. and so 2 jobs, and are you happy at those jobs?
Not my first one.
Starbucks.
No,
you have 2 jobs, Destiny, that are just get-by jobs.
Yeah, but she's so young.
You're creating a job lineup. And these are not jobs that you're supposed to be living off of. You need to have more ambition. Right. Are you going to school?
I'm going this fall.
Well, that was like swallowed. What? We didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said I'm going this fall.
In fall. And what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, is it
RN?
School? RN? Is it an associate's degree that you're getting, or are you going to a 4-year college?
I'm going towards a bachelor degree.
You're going towards a bachelor's. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's
then
good.
There's your career. You're working towards it, and you have to work.
And you have to work at crappy jobs. That's sometimes how it is.
Yeah.
But
so finances. Mm-hmm. What? So
she's
why?
She's not happy at the Party City, correct?
Yes.
Become a nurse's aide. Become a
work in
a
hospital.
Doctor's office. Get a job in a doctor's office. Get a job somewhere where you become familiar with how an office works, or get a job at the hospital. Come on,
this is the same thing my mom said.
Oh, see, she should be doing our job.
Yeah, you know, it makes us question your common sense. That it's common sense, Destiny. You want to be an RN, that's great. So you want to – finances, it's only logical. You got to listen. You get a job in the environment you want to work in. And don't worry right now about making tons of money. That's not going to happen. What you're going to be making –
It's not about making tons. It's just like – because I catch Lyft every day. I don't have transportation. Only transportation is Lyft. So that's taking a lot of money out of my check.
Oh.
So that's why
that's
I picked up 2 jobs. Yeah.
That's not good. So transportation. So that's another thing.
Yes.
What do you know what Lyft is? It's like she's taking a taxi essentially to work, which is expensive. That's very costly. You don't have any public transportation in your area?
The bus, but that's dangerous for a girl like me to ride the bus.
Yeah.
Around here. You can't get
here.
A car?
Yeah.
Are you in a financial situation, your family, you can't get a car?
No, we're not right now. That's where I'm trying to save my money, just to get a car.
Yeah,
but
that's difficult
able
to get a job. I understand. So you're a little bit stuck in getting a job that you may be more suited to.
How are you going to get to school?
Suitable for you.
How are you going to get to school in the fall?
Well, my mom's going to help me out with that. Or she's going to, I might stay on the dorms. I don't know. I might stay on the dorms.
Oh, does your mom work?
No, she fell sick. So she has hyperthyroid.
And are your parents divorced?
Yes.
So you just, do you have a sister?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm picking up on that stuff. All right, so, well, you know what, Destiny, don't worry. Listen, where's the closest hospital or doctor's office?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the closest one?
There's one like 5 miles up the road, not that far.
Okay, I mean, whether there are jobs available there it remains to be seen. You have to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that's not too great a distance.
No, that's where you need to go.
Do you have any money saved towards a car right now? You're saying that you're taking Lyft to work, so it's hard.
Yeah.
Can you
not as for right now?
I'm sorry?
I said not as for right now. I don't have any money saved up.
You don't have any money saved for a car, and you're spending all this money on Lyft.
No.
Can your mom help take you to work?
No, she.
Well,
she doesn't have a car. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
she doesn't have a car either.
Okay,
yeah.
We get it.
Okay.
Well, what you need to do, Destiny, is no point in you working at Starbucks and the customer service job. If all it's doing is paying
your
debt,
car.
It makes no
stupid
sense.
Or your transportation.
You need at least, mm-hmm, if you're going to be working on those such in that kind of an environment, you need to go to the hospital and go to the doctor office. At least you'll be doing something that's leading towards your RN. And
right.
You don't worry right now about the money. It's not about increasing your financial situation. Your strategy right now would be to start to create a workload that leads to you becoming an RN.
Right, even though she's spending all her money on
that. And don't stress out that you're at home, and don't stress out right now that you're not making money. The best thing you can do is to work at either a hospital, not sweeping floors, but in the office.
You can do
somewhere.
A switchboard. I mean, there's all kinds of jobs that you can do.
Not
that
even
are...
switchboard. She should probably do in the office itself.
Well, it's hospital switchboard, I mean, that gets you into the experience of a hospital how it works. If you're in the emergency room.
My trapper, she should go into something that at least alludes to where she can talk to nurses and get involved in that.
Well, you do in that
maybe
environment.
Maybe you can be an orderly, as in the switchboard you do?
Absolutely. Yeah,
well,
you're involved in the,
right.
You're taking calls.
Okay, well, maybe.
With
maybe
people with accidents
right.
and sickness and all kinds of stuff like that. And you're in the heart,
well,
of.
Part of it. But
I mean,
but
it's probably
floor,
different for.
To be on the floor actually with nurses, working with them.
How is she going to be on the floor working
she can
with
be
nurses?
She can be an orderly. She can. There's all kinds of things.
But don't you need, you have to have a LVN to do that kind of work.
You need to go to the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah. In the doctor's offices.
I've seen something online. It was saying accepting college students, though. That's the thing.
It was asking, you were saying that you saw, what did you see online specifically?
It was something saying assistant nurses. They're hiring college students to come in.
I would say, listen, I would answer the ad and say, I'm going to college in the fall. This is exactly what I'm doing, and appeal to their, I mean, you know, there's a way to be persuasive and, you know, you may not fit exactly what they're looking for right at this moment, but you're on that path. So I would say, listen, I'm enrolling in college in the fall, and this is the career I want, and I would love an opportunity to get my foot in the door, you know?
Yeah.
Do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I'll certainly continue.
Well, we had some extra time today, so hopefully we were able to help you. But follow us. Oh, yeah, follow us. Join us on Facebook.
Okay,
do you know
no
how
problem.
To do that, Destiny? Do you know how to follow us?
Yes. Is it on Facebook or?
Facebook.
Do you have
we're on
Instagram?
Facebook.
Okay.
We don't do Instagram. Facebook, and that is linked. It's Neil and Kristen Baker, Neil Baker Psychic, and those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. So there's a hyperlink there. You can just hit it and follow.
And
we would
you can
really
follow
appreciate
us, and then, you know,
it.
You have kind of a home here. You can always call and get a free reading and use it as a support system. We know you now. So start to use those things.
Yeah, definitely keep us updated on how things progress. And, you know, I would definitely contact that job as soon as possible and then give us a call in a couple of weeks and update us.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, thanks, Destiny.
Thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
Bye. Bye. You're welcome.
Bye.
You know, it's funny. Whenever I see the word destiny, I see the word tiny. You know?
Yeah, tiny, because it's in there.
Because it's in there. But, you know, the root word of des, D-E-S, it's, there's a quest. And it goes back to a certain specific element of spirit. Because when we have a destiny, if we feel we have, I mean, she's, maybe that's her real name, maybe it's a nickname or something.
Or yeah, some people use pseudonyms on the radio, so
they,
we don't know.
To,
but
yeah. But destiny is a funny thing. And we've, Chris and I have talked much about the idea of destiny, how it's connected to karma. Or to say that one has a destiny, that means that there's a pre-recorded element of energy.
Pre-recorded element of energy, and even if there is a destiny, there can be contingencies on destiny.
Yeah.
There can be ultimate destiny. So it's, there's different grades of destiny.
Yeah.
So it's, it gets interesting.
Yeah. There's a, in the movie Lawrence of Arabia, there's a very interesting scene about destiny where Lawrence saves a man from the desert, because the other Arab was saying, well, it's his destiny to die in the desert. He fell off the camel, and that's his destiny. And Peter O'Toole, Lawrence of Arabia, goes and rescues the man and says, and does bring him back.
We're talking about Lawrence of Arabia again.
Yeah, I love the film.
I know.
He brings him back, you know,
it.
And he says to the Arab, he goes, so much for your destiny. I brought him back and he's alive. So then later in the film, the same man is caught cheating at some kind of game. And the penalty is death.
Yeah, we talked about this
and,
two shows ago, but go ahead.
And then it is, he does something really awful. And then it's Peter O'Toole's, now it's his destiny to kill him.
To kill him.
And he has to kill him. And the other Arab that was, that originally told Peter O'Toole about destiny, he said, you see, it's destiny. Now, destiny can be a creative thing. We can create our own destiny. We think it's destiny,
well, it's not,
but
really
it's
destiny.
Actually our willpower.
It's will. And destiny, generally, is going to happen no matter what. Unless it's the destiny with contingencies, meaning the destiny is there, but you have to get through certain aspects and elements to get to that point.
Well, it ties in with our discussion of fear, because, well, let's look at destiny. Was it, was,
well,
it,
not her specifically.
It,
so she's still listening.
Yeah. Was it Jack Kennedy's destiny to be assassinated? And if it was his destiny, look, there was no fear. He was in the car. He was waving. And if it's his destiny to die, and that was coded.
Or Martin Luther King's destiny.
Or Martin Luther King.
Same similar situation.
Some people kind of know, high-profile people kind of know if there's if someone's after them, if there's an assassination attempt, they have bodyguards. If you have bodyguards, you're living in fear. You're living in anxiety. It may just be a form of protection and common sense because you're high-profile. Maybe there's controversy about what you do. And people have bodyguards, but that's still an element of fear. It's still an element of fear because it contorts fear and being afraid into a package that's not immediate. So what you do is you say, I'm afraid and I have fear. So I surround myself with protection. Kennedy had no protection. It was a limousine. It was opened. The Pope, who is supposed to be shielded if he goes into a parade or something, he's supposed to be shielded. The current Pope steps out of that now. But, you know, sometimes it's not a matter of the Pope decision. Bishops and cardinals and everybody around him, the Pope's, what do you call it?
The
His
Pope
cabinet or
oh, the
prophecy.
The,
or,
oh, it, I don't know.
You know, demand. You have to be protected. if the president speaks, he has bodyguards, he has CIA agents, he has Secret Service. Why? Because now we get into the idea of fear, being afraid, and how we protect ourselves. So to me, it's hard to really definitively connect fear or being afraid or having anxiety to any one position, because it's diffused by the way we protect ourselves as human beings. We think a car is protection. We sometimes buy a car that has the best kind of protection at all, but if an oncoming car crosses over the double yellow line at 60 miles an hour, and then this idea of not considering fear because you were reckless. Who was that teenage heartthrob that died in the car crash?
Teenage heartthrob.
Well, I mean, he was.
You mean the Fast and Furious?
Fast and Furious.
What was his name?
Fast and Furious. And he died Fast and Furious.
What was his name?
Paul something? But look at the coincidence. He stars in a movie called Fast and Furious, and exactly how he died. Was that his destiny? And was he afraid? Now, he wasn't the driver, and the car was built for speed. It was improperly driven on a road that was not meant for speed. And for whatever reason.
Right, but whether that was predestined to occur or, you know, could have been avoided
due to
more responsible behavior.
Right. James Dean. Same thing with James Dean, another earlier icon, driving in a little sports car and at a crossroad was killed.
I mean, then you get into people who know that they're going to die. There's lots of music legends that knew they were going to die early. They talk about their death. God, Tupac Shakur is one person, and he was killed. So was that predestined? And then those that are, addicted to drugs and alcohol and know they're going to die young and do, whether it's destiny or if it's, self-fulfilling prophecy.
One of our greatest pieces of literature, A Tale of Two Cities, is the main character assumes the role of dying for two lovers, and he gives his life. It's a far, far better thing I've done than I've ever done before. And Tale of Two Cities. So sometimes we willingly give our life for somebody. Now soldiers do it. Citizens do it. Firemen do it.
Birds do it.
Birds do it. Yeah. Well, birds do it. Birds are very sacrificial.
No, but you know what I'm referring to.
About firemen. The idea of fear, anxiety, and being afraid can be all punctured.
Punctured.
That you can puncture each one and find substance when a fireman is rushing into a burning building and he knows darn well, what about 9/11? I may die here. I'm rushing into death. Now, what overwhelms fear and anxiety and being afraid? Is it courage? Is it the commitment
adrenaline?
To protect?
Yeah.
At the cost of one's life, where does the fear and the anxiety and the being afraid go? Courage and determination and boldness seems to be able to consume those aspects.
Right, but there are chemicals adrenaline is connected to fear as well as courage, So how it's manifested in the body is going to be dependent, I guess, on the individual's mindset or the situation.
You get things like when you're in more popular culture, you get things like Thelma and Louise and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where they just guns blaring, cars roaring, they drive off the cliff, or they confront the Mexican soldiers and they shoot their way out knowing they're going to die. I mean, there's a glorious aspect sometimes to the idea that we can manage fear and anxiety and being afraid with acts of having courage and abandoning any thought that life has to go on, that if you're going to die, you die in a blazing moment of glory. And some people can do that. Others are much more tempered, and they go, oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to die in bed, asleep. That's how I want to die. I'm going to be 95, nothing courageous. And then there's the idea that people are afraid of pain, and they induce their own death. Is it the pain of physicality? Sometimes it's a disease. They know they're going to die. Brian Keith shot himself in the head. He had a disease there. Robin Williams, debatable exactly why he killed himself or what the circumstances were, but he did seem to have a disease.
And I think the disease that he had made him very prone to depression.
Depression.
And the medications that he was on also probably impacted his ability to reason and
it's funny because
stay stable.
When we discuss fear and where we put it, we have to bring in that little demon, depression, because depression can actually be a living, if it's not a living death, it's death itself. Depression kills. And doctors know it, psychologists know it, as much as the people who experience depression. Now, depression is usually, if it's not chemical, it's a state of being. It's a state of a consciousness. You are depressed. Now, depression can actually, it's weird because depression can actually bring on courage, because people who are severely depressed who kill themselves, man, somewhere there's got to be courage there. Certainly, if I were severely depressed, I wouldn't have the guts to kill myself. Not only does my consciousness not allow it and the fear of the consequences in the hereafter, but the idea of actually killing myself, like I'm somebody beside myself, I'm going to kill me.
Right.
It's just
But I think that's why some people start to get into self-destructive behaviors like drinking too much or drugs. We only have 3 minutes now, which are slow routes, or, overeating, whatever it may be, that are slow routes to death, not like, taking the gun and putting it to your head. You know what I'm saying? It's self-destruction, but it's on a more gradual level while living in the earth.
It can,
you know?
There can be a slow death. And certainly Chris and I have dealt with people who are very depressed, people who are facing death. And in my years in this business, I've certainly been by the bedside of people who are dying or who wanted to die. And sometimes it's sheer fact, there's a physical thing going on. And sometimes you're just spending an hour or two with somebody who's so severely depressed that that's all they can think about is leaving the planet. It's so we're just opening up the topic of this to talk about it. There's nothing really new and outstanding about what we're saying. Certainly it's been said before. But if we want to convert the idea of fear, anxiety, being afraid into a particular chakra, that's a whole different element of discussion.
Yeah, which
in terms of where we store it in our body,
right,
and how we kind of maintain it.
Which we can get into on Wednesday. I mean, today is Wednesday. Well, we used to do a show Monday, Wednesday, so maybe I was back in that state. But on Friday, rather, we can maybe get more into that, Neil, if we have time.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we are out of time today, and we are back on air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye.